Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus.
You know, they try to say that our traditional gospel music is about to be a thing of the past. But you know what I tell them? I said, you get in trouble, you're going to have to go back to the same old music. If you walk in the doctor's office and he tell you you got 6 months to live, the hip-hop ain't going to help you. You're going to have to fall down on your knees every now and then and say, I need, help me say, the old. God bless you. You know, it gets dark sometimes, but when it gets dark in your life, huh, the sun can be shining, but it can be dark in your life. Oh, y'all want to hear this? When it gets dark in your life, you can reach back, go down Old School Boulevard again, and come back up and get this message. Shine! This is what I was raised on.
finish it.
Hello, everybody. This is Brother Calvin, and welcome to the C.
I shall not walk. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art.
Father, I stretch my
this morning, good morning to you this morning. We're reaching out for you this morning to say to you, God is available for you this morning. God will open up that door to where you've been lost at, and God will give you what you need if you let God come into your life. And we want to talk this morning about God is available for you, and the weight of the world is on your shoulders. I want to say this morning very briefly, the 95th birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, somebody called me and said, Bishop, what would Dr. King said today in 2024. First thing Dr. King's spirit would say, stop the war over in the Middle East. Stop the killing across this land. He will speak on the hungry. He will speak on those that have killed many a children. Dr. King will speak on the civil rights and the human rights of American people. And we'll speak on the preachers and the ministers and the rabbis and the imams being silent to the mass murder going on in this country. Is selling guns and bombs and tanks and bullets to keep a war going. Dr. King talked about nonviolence. And I think that's the most important thing, that as we get ready to go into the next year, next month, that we have to be really understanding that God is available for you to heal your body, to heal your mind. God is available to open up a door for you, to stop all the race riot and the killing that's going on. We're a country on a way down, not on the way up, until we deal with white supremacists in this country and racism. One of the things this morning for you, you have to understand that we got to stand. and have to work. And you have to understand, as men and women know, God is available for you. You got to understand God will work for you. And God is waiting on you to take a stand on what you need to do for God to guide you to the next level. I'm praying for you, those in Arkansas, Mississippi, that we talked to, those that we talked to up in St. Paul, Minnesota, those in Cleveland, Ohio, in Chicago, Indiana. I want to say to you, God is available in spite of what you think. God is still available for you, and God will keep you in a divine way. In the spirit of the 95th birthday of Dr. King and the death of Dexter King, we're praying for that King family, as gave so much to America, gave so much to people, and gave so much in study, standing up. I want to thank you, those that are standing and those that have made their mind up that we are doing that, and that's good. Psalms 19, Psalm 17, Psalm 23, God have made a position with you. Whatever you need, God have opened up that door. Sister, I'm praying for those that lost loved one, lost mama, lost sister, lost brother, and you're all confused. Prayer changes things. Now, I want to tell you, if you got a need, you plant a seed. So, Bishop, I got a need. I want you to be able to go into 2024 with your doors open, where you can go in a situation where things can open up for you, where you can go where things might work for you in a way that God could do something special for you. And when God does something special for you, as the door closed, it will open up. And what you need God to do something special in your family life.
Before we begin, a quick word from our sponsors, Bubble, the world's number one.
And then you want to know what you want God to do for you, and what you want God to open up for you. God open up that door for you, and you got to let God in. Some of you can turn your back on God. But see, I don't want you to turn your back on God.
His nonviolent protests brought out the worst in white America. Police dogs and fire hoses in Birmingham in 1963. Alabama state troopers beating back protesters on the bridge in Selma in 1965. And their violence would strike a flint on the nation's conscience.
And we shall overcome.
President Lyndon Johnson pushed through landmark civil rights bills to open up public accommodation, to ensure access to voting rights, and signed the laws as Dr. King stood over his shoulder. By the late 1960s, Andrew Young says, King had become exhausted.
We were pretty well worn out. I mean, he'd been going from 55 to 67 without a let up.
There was a rumor that Dr. King was planning a sabbatical, maybe in India, maybe in Africa. Was it true?
He was thinking about it.
That was his dream. It wasn't India. It wasn't Africa. He'd been to Riverside Church.
The prestigious Riverside Church in New York was looking for a pastor.
I stretch my hand. The help I
from me. Oh, where the shall lie? What did thine only son endure before I drew my breath? What did thine lonely son be? That for me tonight.
Father God, we come this morning. We ask you to bless those that have come, those that have got many problems. You told me in your word you are available for them. Those that standing against evil, sickness, those that are in jail, prison. You said that you are standing there. So I want to tell you this morning, God is available. Say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Whatever going through your head and your mind, God is still available. And the only way for you to go to the next level, you have to know God is available for you economically, for you to bless your children, for you to get healed from cancer, cataracts, tumor, high blood sugar, heart attacks. God is available for you, family. Whatever's going through your life, God is available this morning for you. On this Sunday morning, with the bishop, God is available for you. And I do see good things for you. Psalms 28 and Psalms 24. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's a rise, shine, and let God do whatever you need. Whatever you're going through, just think about this. God is available for me. He's available for you, woman, man. He's available for you. You have to accept the availability what God got for you. You accept the availability that God got for you every day.
Hey, everybody. This is Brother Calvin. This edition.
And I want you to be available at what God got for you this morning. And I want you to understand the will of God and what God is going to do for you in spite of what you know. I want to share with you this morning, God will keep you in perfect peace. And I want to share with you this morning, he has sent his angels, Michael and Raphael, to watch over you and keep you in perfect peace. Maybe you don't understand that today, but I want to let you know God has brought you this far by faith, and he ain't stopped blessing you he stopped open doors up for you. Maybe. He still opened up doors and came you to the next level. Maybe you don't understand the power of prayer this morning. Maybe you're down on your luck, and maybe you're tired. But in spite of the sickness, in spite of the hate, in spite of the jealousy, God is still in control. I wish somebody know what I was talking about. God still will deliver you and will bring you to the next level in spite of the killing, the murder. In spite of what we're going through, God is still available for you, black man, black woman. God is available for you. With all that going on, God still got your back. And he's still watching over you and your family. I want your finance to grow. I want you to get ready right now for 5 minutes. I want you to just write down, I want a debt-free house. I want finance to flow to me.
Can you smell that? This award today with an abiding faith in America and an audacious faith in the future of mankind. I refuse to accept the idea that man is mere flotsam and jetsam in the river of life unable to influence the unfolding events which surround him. I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I have the audacity to believe that peoples everywhere can have 3 meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness, Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I accept the Nobel Prize for Peace at a moment when 22 million Negroes of the United States are engaged in a creative battle to end the long night of racial injustice.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must fail to conduct our struggle on the highest plane in the dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people, for many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of all the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. as long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope, This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."